Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men podcast. We've survived. We've survived the weekend from hell and come out the other side. We're living currently to tell the tale. That might be short-lived. Liverpool playing the Champions League tonight. We'll get to a little bit of that later on, of course. But yeah, I'm Paul Machin. In the studio with me is Chris Pajak. At home is Sam Walker. And we've got James Sutton as well in his tropical paradise of a home. Just live, direct from satellite view from the rainforests.
There is so much oxygen in this room. I feel invigorated just being, bounded by.
Is these from all of your Hollyoaks fans for Valentine's Day?
No, I don't have any. I don't have any fans
who know your address.
quite.
I'm for the best sometimes. Right. Okay. We're going to be talking about Jürgen Klopp. We're going to be talking about the rumours over the weekend that absolutely knocked us all for six, that he was going to be quitting, about all bits and pieces. And then, obviously, subsequently, he's done a press conference that kind of made us feel a whole lot better. We'll do that in a little bit. But we've got a kick-off question, and in fact, two, because they were both a bit daft and quite funny, and I quite like them. I think we all need a little bit of daft, funny, and likeability at the moment. Speaking of which, Chris Page.
Hello.
Hey. Stan Gooper says, you own a shop. You're only allowed to sell one thing, i.e. one specific trainer. And I think we'll say he means type of trainer, not trainers. So you can't own... You can own a shoe shop, but you can only sell one particular type of training shoe. What do you, Chris Pajak, sell in your shop?
Eggs.
Eggs.
Yes.
Okay.
I think, my first thought was bacon. And I was like, you know what? I don't think the margin's great on bacon.
Well, are the margins great on eggs was going to be my first question.
Well, that's it, isn't it? What are you paying for? Well, I've got grass, so they can eat the grass. Okay. So I'm not paying for too much grain, I can't imagine. And I get free products every day.
And you can self-replicate your products.
Exactly.
Yeah, with a bit of incubation.
So there you go. I don't think there's a great outlay. I just need a few chickens to start me off, and then I'm good to go. And then pretty much 100% profit.
There must be good money
in
eggs.
And everyone likes eggs, right?
Yeah, there must be good money in eggs. Every time you go down a country lane and you see people like signs, hand-painted signs, people trying to sell eggs.
Exactly. Eggs.
Eggs is the answer to Chris Pajak. Sam Walker, what are you selling?
I'll tell you what, that's from me that I did not expect. I was thinking something well more quick. He was coming out on that, Chris, you've caught me there. I thought, how can I make the most money right now? And I thought, right now, PlayStation 5s. If I had a PlayStation 5 shop, I'd be the richest man in the north of England, well, the north of the world. It's the most sought out for console ever. Everyone keeps asking, can you get me one? Do you know anyone that's got one? Where you find one? Is anywhere it's in stock? So yeah, if I had a PS5 shop right now, I'd be minted.
Yeah, I like the idea of like 20 years from now and you're just sort of there going
20 years from now will be all right. It'll be retro. It's that 10 to 18 year period where he's fucked.
Just riding
double
out.
Double value,
absolutely. It's boxed. He's got boxed PS5s. Wow, incredible. We're amazing. James, what are you going for?
Well, I feel like you need to choose something that people need rather than want, you know, otherwise... You know, I mean, Sam makes a valid point. Everyone wants a PS5 right now. But is that going to last? I don't think it is.
James is selling sex
here. I'm retiring soon, mate. Don't worry about that.
You need supply and demand, you know. Right now the demand's high, but it's not always going to be that way, Sam. You need something like pants. You need a shop that just sells pants because everybody needs pants. Everybody wears pants. So you sell pants and you're never going to go out of business because every day people are going
to... What type of pants, though?
Yeah, can I ask the obvious question here? Are we talking underpants or are we talking scouse pants?
Yeah. No, we're not for our
underpants.
No, not for our American friends. No, I mean underpants. I mean underpants, undercrackers. That's what we need to be selling. Bright red undercrackers.
That's your Midlands heritage coming out there, mate. Yeah. They're the things that go under your pants are your underpants.
Yeah, your pants are what they go under.
Yeah.
Women
call them underpants or underwear. Anyway, good shout, solid. You've got to be careful with the clothing stuff. I was thinking about this the other day about how I wonder whether we will all reach an age where we start dressing like old men. You know, like the old flat cap and beige slacks. And
I was thinking about that the other day when I drove past an old man and I was like, at what point do I then think that coat's fashionable?
Yeah, it's like you walk through a gateway somewhere. And like, you know, and you just transformed. And what I discovered this, because my father-in-law was a generation older than my mother-in-law, and there was a shop called The Man Shop in Coventry. It was literally called, and it's like the most, like, you know, you're like, oh, that's, I'm not sure, that's very political. No, literally, like, no woman would ever want to shop in this shop in any way, shape, or form. It was literally filled with tweed flat caps and beige slacks and comfortable men's leather shoes and proper belts and that kind of stuff. And it shut down a few years ago because the clientele
died.
The clientele just stopped.
Well, basically, what happened to Marks and Spencers?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Marks. That's why they got into food. Food. There you go. See, Marks and Spencers on the Chris Pajak route there. I was, I've struggled with this. I was thinking about, in terms of to give a Liverpool angle to it, if you just were the shop that sold Liverpool match tickets. You would never talk about supply and demand.
You'd never have any to sell.
I know, but you're bearing away when I'm the only shop that sells them, and therefore is the only place to sell them.
Hang on a minute, where does it say that?
Because it's my shop. My shop is to sell all the Liverpool tickets. There you go. I'll be a healthy flow of people, and you'd be super popular off the back, and equally probably hated in equal measures. Because
you'd get done over a lot. Your store would get done over a lot.
Yeah. And there'd be loads of fellas running away with fan cards pouring out the pockets, which is kind of like being outside the pub 5 minutes to go before the game. We have one more, and I think this is to do with that. The judge that went on a Zoom meeting or something that had like the filter as a dog or a cat
that was
or something.
Funny. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I laughed and then I forgot about it.
Andrew Ellis asks, okay, if you had to have a filter permanently applied to all your Zoom and videos forevermore, what would you choose? He said, I'm thinking Chris Pajak would be the excitable puppy, I would be the foxy, which is weird, and Ross would be the pussycat. Chris?
Borat Mankini.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Great, isn't that?
Exciting. Go on, James. What would you be having as your permanent filter?
Yeah, I would go with Pajak, man. I'll be in a tasteful bikini next to Pajak in a mankini.
Nice. Yeah, excellent stuff.
How do you follow that? I was thinking more like, you know, make you look young all the time. These guys are just blowing it away there. You know? I haven't got Snapchat or anything like that, so I don't really know what filters are available. So I'll just kind of make it up, to make me look young forever. That'll do.
Yeah, like, why not go with those ones that you see on Instagram, which just makes you just look like a little bit
fit,
like your face is a bit, just fit. Yeah, I'll go with the
six
fit pack, filter, please.
Six pack and pecs, pure muscles everywhere. That'll do. That's the one there.
Yeah.
Jersey Paul in the comments says James should have a Roy Keane filter, and there was a petition on Twitter, I believe, for him to do the entire show in Roy Keane voice today.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think we should be. We want an entire James Roy Keane podcast. If you don't know what we're talking about, do check out last week's one. It was absolutely, absolutely splendid. Right, Sad. If you've got any answers to those, do let us know either live in the comments or tweet us at the Red Men TV, of course. Right, Sad.
Football now.
We've got a very short break before we do crack on with the football stuff. We've created a wonderful partnership with Beers of Anfield Road to create an entire range of merchandise that celebrates Liverpool's incredible past and some of the amazing players as well that made it all possible in the present, in t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, etc., etc. Have a little look at this.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Yes, the partnership is available over on the Red Men TV shop right now. You can check that out in a whole host of ways. It'll be in the information underneath the video, or you can just go to theredmentv.com, click the shop link, etc., etc., or just search Red Men TV merch shop and you'll find it. But in terms of the beer mat, they're amazing. The design work on them is great. So obviously, there's a bunch of ones that do with champion Nabi Lad. Get on the Nabi Lad one, because that's absolutely going to fly for for 3 weeks when he comes back to full fitness before getting injured again. Fabinho. We've got James Milner, we've got Numero 6. They're just boss. They're very, very cool things, and we're very, very proud to have that partnership with Beers of Anfield Road. So do get on it. You can get the beer mats themselves, or you can get them on t-shirts, hoodies, and all that kind of good stuff as well. If you want to walk around and look very, very cool in them, or very, very warm, because the hoodies are amazing. Right. First and foremost, before we dive into the Jürgen Klopp stuff, we were a question on Tipping Point last night. It took me a little while for this to sink in, because loads of people were. What I found out first and foremost is there's a lot of people who aren't doing a lot of work in late afternoons on a Monday, Chris, first and foremost.
Yeah.
A lot of people who just sat at home watching quiz shows, can I just say.
Plus, they're scraping the barrel, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, for questions on these afternoon quizzes. The content's not great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
We've come to a point where we're just a generic, like general knowledge question, which I think is that's quite lovely.
I was fuming, to be honest with you.
Why?
Because if he was a Liverpool fan, he should have been more confident.
Yeah, yeah. I genuinely want to know.
If he'd have said, "Yeah, of course it's Liverpool. I'm a subscriber," I'd have been made up.
Yeah.
As such, he went,
Liverpool.
Are you a Liverpool fan?
Yeah.
I want to get him on this show.
We're not doing enough work, and you guys at home are not doing enough work. If that man's not certain that Red Men TV is a Liverpool-related channel, then we need to spread the word greater. But no, I was genuinely made up with that. It was just something that we basically invented. Has been a question on a national televised quiz show. Genuinely made up. Right. Yes. So Sam Walker, I'm coming to you first here because you basically ruined my weekend, and I'm putting this blame entirely on you. You didn't start the fire, but you did carry a lit torch and then walk around setting fire to everyone associated with Red Men TV with the flames from this fire. Post Leicester on Saturday, the rumours were doing the rounds. In fact, it went, your phrase was, I'm hearing these rumours that Klopp has quit. And it sparked what was definitely the worst 12 hours of my recent life. But certainly, I took a heavy toll over the weekend. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, I've been sent these posts. Do I believe them? Do I fuck? But where can I post them to get reaction? And I just knew our group would melt down. And it melted down. But I'll be honest with you, a little part of me thought Klopp didn't look too great after the game. Like, yeah. You know, if it was me, I'm not as strong as a man as him. I would have probably been already at home, and I've been a Liverpool fan all my life. So I kind of just thought there might be something to this just because of everything that's going on in the world. So I thought, I better alert the guys. You know, they need to know first. We can't have news breaking before the Red Men boys and girls know. So it was my duty to completely send you about 4 different screenshots.
Yeah.
So confirming the one that, exit.
The phrasing of it was, and these were all forwards, and I imagine by now forwarded by many times in WhatsApp terms. I've just had 2 messages of different people saying he's supposed to have walked. Next message, Klopp's quit. Next one, just heard they're trying to get him to take a break, but it seems he's had enough. Next one, 1,000,000% gone, mate, being told now. Next one, yes, mate, just being told. They have tried to get him to take a break for a month. He's declined. He's gone. Next message, same. James, how was your head this weekend?
I mean, the positive first part of me, you know, the positive part of my psyche keeps waiting for things to turn around. I could, you know, we're waiting for, you know, our fortunes to turn, and suddenly we start picking up points and players start coming back from injuries. And it's getting to a stage now where it's like I'm kind of dreading each game now, because I'm worried that someone else is going to get injured, someone else that perhaps isn't replaceable, maybe one of our fullbacks, for example. God forbid the goalkeeper or Salah, and you know the Jurgen Klopp stuff. I mean, I think it got as much traction as it did because people understand, you know, how miserable it must be right now for him. It's not like, you know, these rumours are completely, you know, nonsense. I'm sure he is privately having a really shit time. You know, he's an emotional guy, which goes some way to explain why he's such a perfect fit for this football club and this fan base, is because we're an emotional football club. We're an emotional fan base. You know, this club's been through an awful lot. I just feel painfully sorry for him and for the players, you know, and I know he wants to kind of, you know, he sort of takes the pressure off the players and says, you know, it's all down to me. And, you know, when we lose, it's my fault. But, you know, the players, you know, they're holding their hands up. Jordan Henderson, you know, coming out and saying what he said. It's just a terrible situation, and at the moment, I don't, you know, because there's football matches every three, four days at the moment. There doesn't feel like there's any kind of respite from it. There doesn't feel like there's a, you know, we almost need like a couple of weeks off just to kind of reset and get, you know, get everyone kind of back to you know, sort of square one again. But at the moment, you don't have that luxury, and it's tough, man. I really, really feel for him. But I thought his, you know, for how distressing his post Leicester press conference was. I thought the press conference yesterday, I thought was fantastic. I thought everything he said was, you know, I mean, so many beautiful sound bites there, you know. It was kind of that Wolf of Wall Street vibe, wasn't it? Where, you know, he gets the microphone, I'm not leaving! It was that, you know, that kind of thing.
It was very much what we needed. I think also, yeah. I get where it comes from, though, and to James' point, Chris, is it felt, and the reason why I think it gained so much traction is, as we're all feeling a bit down in the dumps with it, and it felt like the perfect answer to everything that we kind of seen glimpses of over the last few. So, and I was thinking, oh my God, you could tie this back weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. You could tie it back to transfers. You could tie it back to, you know, and it comes to a head where you see him in his press conference and he concedes the title and it looks like he's about to wipe a tear out of his eye. And he's not. He just like scratches his nose or whatever. But he looks tired. He looks browbeaten by it all. He just looked like a man who'd had enough. So then to hear a rumour that he's gone, you go, oh my God. I hope to God he's not. But I don't think anyone was like, what a dickhead. I think that was most upsetting about it, as you can see why he would.
Timing's everything in these types of things. You don't start the rumour 6 weeks ago when Liverpool are top of the league. You start the rumour when Liverpool have just lost 3 games on the bounce. The things come out about his mum passing away and him saying that. That's where it's come from. And you know, the best lies, they say, always have a grain of truth to them. It didn't have a grain of truth to it, but it had that believability factor about it because of the situation that's been going on and stuff like that. But we were sat here, I think it was yesterday before the press conference, talking about how, doesn't, if you strip that back, That doesn't sound like Jürgen Klopp to me.
Yeah.
Jürgen Klopp does not walk away from a football club and a challenge just because it's not going well for a few weeks. That's not him. So if you can strip that back, and we were all emotional on Saturday night, like we were side texting, weren't we? Like, let's just switch our phones off for a bit. And yeah, if anything happens, the lads know to ring us rather than to use WhatsApp and all that type of stuff, and we'll be there and whatnot. But that, it got on top of me, like on Saturday night. I was like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with social media right now. I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
It's too hard. We've just been tonked by Leicester and I'm half cut. Yeah. Like, I don't deal with stuff well when I'm cut anyway, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, to move it on slightly and to then think about Jürgen yesterday, absolutely superb.
Yeah, I was the same. I got to the Saturday night and you're right, having to deal with it. And like, but the good thing about it, Sam, and what it led to, we'll get to the press conference, but what was really nice. I did this. I turned my phone off and I probably had it off for half an hour and it didn't make me feel any better because I was like, I've just shut myself off to the reality of it. It's not going to make it better or worse, me not having access to stuff. And what I did when I turned it back on again, I put the kids to bed and I, by the time I'd like done what I was doing in the evening, Twitter was lovely. It was filled with really positive message, and obviously people have kind of gone around going, well, hang on a second, this is shit. Jürgen's going through a hard time. What can we do? There's not much we can do. All we want to do is go in the ground and shout support and go and support the team and do that. Well, what can we do? And I was mentally going, what can we do? We've got a platform. Is there anything we can do about it? And then the messages of love and support and positivity actually, in a weird way, I've been thinking about this phrase, like what's bedrock, what's rock bottom, and rock bottom would have been the manager walking out. Well, we actually almost got, even though it never happened, we got to experience almost what it was like if Jürgen Klopp was to walk away, which would be the worst thing that could happen to the football club. And instead of like crying about it, everyone kind of stood up and went, okay, well, let's just get back on the positivity train and make sure that we can show our support, which I just thought was just beautiful.
I think the whole situation highlights just how sort of linked we are now with the playing staff and the manager. And it might not necessarily be access, you know, fans might not always see the players and meet them, but in terms of the emotional reaction and the way we sort of bounce off each other. And I think one of the things for me that made this thing all a little bit real when, like you, I had that little moment where you think, oh, is this real? It's because the fans aren't there at the moment. Klopp has got zero access to the fans. I mean, he's speaking to the media via Zoom. It's bizarre, isn't it? So,
and you wonder whether he's reading negativity from fans. And you wonder which, if he is looking at social media, is he seeing the small, loud buttes amongst our fan base rather than hearing the overall comforting, whole?
What's weird though, Paul, is I haven't seen those buttes. I mean, don't get me wrong, with the odd message, or Klopp did this wrong, or we shouldn't have done that, or we should have played.
They're all in the live comments now, Sam.
but that's fine though, because like I do it myself. Oh, why didn't he start? Because we all have our opinions on the game. We all still trust Klopp. We all have our opinions. But in terms of I haven't seen the Klopp out. I haven't seen that once. I saw Gary Lineker put a tweet up, and I thought, Gary, where are you getting that from? Because we're posting rumours, but I haven't seen anybody, and between us, we have a wide connection to the Liverpool fan base. I haven't seen any retweets saying Klopp out. But as I was saying, I think this all kind of, for me, points to one thing, and it just shows that this club, probably amongst the clutch of clubs in European football, really do have something special with our fan base. And I think it's just highlighted it even more, because had we been going through this tough patch with the fans at the stadium, you know full well, we would have lifted the team. We would have literally been that little 10%, 5% louder. We would have sang specific songs to lift certain players. We would have sang for Klopp. We would have been in early. All the things that we need to do that we know we get a reaction of before the game, after the game, during the game. But because we can't do that, I think that it kind of almost makes it more difficult for us. So some of the things that we've seen, like the banner outside the ground, and I'm sure there'll be an airplane flying over at some point with a message to Klopp. There'll be some montages put on Twitter and Instagram, etc. It just shows how much we need each other in our lives a bit more than maybe some other clubs.
Yeah, definitely. And, to get to the press conference stuff, James, Jürgen comes out and just cuts it down to size in typical Jürgen fashion, you know. And again, it speaks to Chris and I were doing the build-up show and saying this. I can't see Jürgen Klopp seeing it as anything other than, you know, I'm going to front this up and regardless of the situation, I'm going to fight on. And he says it himself, you know, he talks about it being a challenge. You know, he said, I'm full of energy. He said, I don't look it because I'm pale and the grey and the beard showing through a little bit more because of the world, and I'm not sleeping, you know, I don't sleep loads anyway, so maybe I've got the bags under the eyes, but I'm full of energy. And he doesn't, that's the beauty of Jürgen Klopp. And he is the leader, he's a leader of men, he's almost the spiritual leader of the Liverpool fan base as well. And him coming out and just being like, nah, whether he 100% believes it or not doesn't matter, you know, that's what him coming out and taking that stance was personally absolutely everything I needed to hear yesterday.
And he did it with a smile on his face as well, which is, you know, which is what we've come to expect and love from the man. You know, all this chaos surrounding him and the club and the players and everything, and he's got a smile on his face going, I haven't got a fucking clue where you've got these rumours from. Like, I'm focused on the Champions League match now. Like, that's my job. You know, I go back to what I said before. You know, we're so lucky. You know, he's a perfect fit. And I think, you know, if you look at his career, if you go back through his, you know, through his career, you know, at Dortmund he had really, really difficult times. You know, he wins a title there, but he has really, really difficult times and he has to rebuild. He'll look at it as a challenge and he'll look at it as an opportunity as well, because the fact that we haven't got that opportunity to celebrate that title with the players and with the staff, that's a huge gripe, man. And it must be as much for them as it is for us. You know, we're gutted that we haven't had that parade and that opportunity. But I tell you what, all it will do to someone like Jürgen Klopp and his backroom staff is inspire them to do it again. These are people that you can back 100%. You can back Jürgen Klopp. You can stand behind him in battle. You can, you know, he's not someone that's going to just fuck off in the middle of a season and go, yeah, I can't do this. You know, I know he's had personal problems, but he's not someone that's going to leave you in the lurch like that. He's going to use it as an opportunity to rebuild and to win us another title. Might be next season, might be the season after, but it's going to happen. And it's, you know, I just go back. We're just so lucky that we've got someone like that who just gets us. Because I tell you what, there's an awful lot of top managers out there that don't have the relationship with the fans and also with the media that Jürgen Klopp does. It's a perfect fit. It really is.
For me, I was looking at it and it's quite interesting, is it? Because what Sam was saying earlier on is right, and what you were saying is right about how, like, you know, he looks like he's annoyed after games and press conferences and stuff. He doesn't like press conferences. It's probably the part of his job that he hates most. And that's both when you've won and when you've lost, I feel that, but certainly when you've lost. So what we're seeing is him at his worst time as Liverpool manager, not when he's on the field coaching and when he's looking at the players and the stuff about his job that he absolutely loves. So, and it's unfortunate that that's our window into Jürgen Klopp for the most part. So yeah, we see him at his worst, yeah, almost, and we've seen him at his worst over the last few weeks, but we take it on what we've seen. What we saw in the press conference yesterday was different, is we saw a window into Jürgen Klopp the person, not the football manager answering questions from journalists that he thinks are absolutely stupid. Not because the journalists are stupid, by the way, but because they know what there is going to sell clicks or sell newspapers, so they ask those specific questions because they want answers that are going to get them. Because the football knowledge questions, they're not going to get clicks, you know, you're looking for a soundbite or, yeah, whatever. He got asked the question and then he spoke about how we can switch between the football manager and the person. Well, he let that football manager down yesterday and we got to see Jürgen Klopp, the person, talking about his private life, yeah, something that he even said, I don't feel like I should open up the private life in press conferences, yeah, but he did it anyway.
It's a press conference with the Liverpool manager, isn't it? That's what those are, yeah, not a press conference with him. It's not a sit-down, exactly, interview with Jürgen Klopp.
Exactly, but what we saw yesterday was him say, look, I can switch between manager and person, and he did in the press conference because he knew that, I think, we needed that, mm, and he wanted to make it abundantly clear that it was ridiculous and he's here for the long haul.
Yeah, I like that, just that thing of, thanks for the support. The support means a lot, but I don't need it. You know, and that's what we want to hear. So, no, and it's Jürgen Klopp through and through. It's like, no, but mate, we're going to give it, yeah, because we fucking love you.
Don't sing my name.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going to, look, I'm sorry if you don't want us to sing your name, but we're going to sing it anyway because we love you, mate. And we do. And it's not like, it's just what we're going to do. Just deal with it. Soz that you don't like us loving you so much, even though deep down you do. But it's, you're right, it's a part of Jürgen Klopp's job, and one of the hardest parts of Jürgen Klopp's job Sam, you know, in the last 5 years, he's had to orchestrate the fan base, and it's a lot easier to orchestrate the fan base when you're in the ground. You think about the amount of times, and you don't see it on cameras. You only really see it when you're in Anfield, that he turns around and bollocks people in the main stand. Like, you know, if they react wrong to something, or him turning around, someone tackles in the middle of the pitch, and he turns around and he fist pumps the main stand because he's telling them, you need to get, this is the things in football that you need to celebrate. And that's all, again, it's all part and parcel of the whole thing, isn't it? Is that one of his greatest strengths is how he's got us all on side. And it's part of my fears around him is, of course, that, you know, if people's heads go, it's harder for him to get his arms around us, both, you know, figuratively and literally.
Yeah, and he knows when he doesn't need to do that. As well, I mean, he's not fake. For instance, your big games, your Man United's, your City's at home, your Barcelona's, your Dortmund's, you don't see him rousing the crowd because he knows they're there. He rides with it. It's just perfectly in sync, everything about him and his emotions with us. I think I just have this image in my mind of him walking out to the full stadium and just sort of looking around and sort of almost taking a sigh of relief as if, say, here we go, we're back now. But yeah. And I think he knows that's coming. And I think that's what's probably keeping him sort of going, is he knows that's there. It's, you know, every day we see these amazing figures come out. And I hate to praise the Tories. I'm not praising the Tories. But the NHS and the amazing work they're doing with the jab, the more closer we get to sort of a sense of normality, it's Klopp's going to be day for him when he gets what is back. Because let's have it right. Liverpool Football Club is nothing without the fans. And because of what our connection with them. That's a compliment, not a sort of slight on them, if you know what I mean. And I think all of the players now are feeling something that will take them through their career, because they haven't got us to rely on. They've got to look within themselves. They've got to look to the manager. But I'll say this, and I'm sure you guys will agree, there isn't one man in my living life who's managed Liverpool Football Club who I would want to look to more. I mean, I was too young when Kenny was manager to really understand that. But there's not one manager I can think of, and this goes for Fergie as well. It was different for him; that it was a totally different mentality. But if I was in any position as a football player now, he's the guy I would want in my corner above anyone.
He's just brilliant. He's just a brilliant fella. I'm just devastated at not being able to be close and to show him that support. And he's a strong fella. He said himself, he's 53 years old. He's been there, done it, seen it, got the T-shirt and all that kind of stuff. But so, you know, it's like we're all saying this. There's loads of people all worse off than all of us. And he's done the same thing we've all been doing in conversations. Everyone goes, you're all right. And you're like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, you know, I'm fine. I'm healthy. Those, you know, everything around me is okay and blah, blah, blah. The world's a bit shit, but I'm doing okay. And he's kind of doing that. You need that to some extent. The thing ultimately that's getting me on the whole thing, Chris, is it's the amount of just bad luck. You know, and that's why I wasn't angry at the weekend, and I'm not angry about Liverpool's situation, because I'm seeing a lot of this. And there was a wonderful tweet by from Tactical Times, which absolutely, in the flip side, before the Klopp rumours were ruined our night by Sam, we'd had this come out, and it was just like a really complimentary thing about how the content we were making and how we were discussing footy and stuff. And I see the way people are reacting to stuff. This isn't just some Liverpool fans, but also, you know, you see it from other football clubs, the anger, which was like the bile that comes out in response to all this. I don't have that. I can be annoyed, and I take it to heart, but it's the conspiring circumstances that wind me up, and that's what can you do about that? That's like a scream at God kind of situation. That's going to scream at clouds kind of things that are happening to Liverpool at this point. And that's the thing that makes it so frustrating and makes you feel so inadequate or so cut off from it, is because Liverpool just need some stuff to go for them, because so much stuff has gone against them.
Yeah, and listen, there is a lot of that. There's a lot of, you know, bad luck that we've had. But, you know, I've also seen sides that haven't gone on won things and haven't turned it around, that have had loads and loads of bad luck. It's not a simple fix, is it? Just waiting for your luck to change, yeah. You know. You do have to, unfortunately, make your own, and you have to play better, and you have to put the performances, and you have to get the wins, and everything then starts seem to go in the same direction as you are and stuff. But, you know, as far as like how people react to it, everyone's entitled to react. react to it their own way. I just wish more people would remember that what our parents used to say to us growing up was, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And then social media needs a little bit of that,
yeah,
to be quite honest with you, because there's just too much on social media. It's just, it gets people down and then it brings everybody down,
yeah,
just naturally, which is why some people just switch off to it, and why the people who have the positive thoughts generally just switch off to Twitter and social media, because they're just like, it's like pissing in the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
You just get shot down from every
and
which
get
way.
Piss all over,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, you know what I mean. So, and that's it. The angry people are always the loudest. It doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean there's more people who think like that. It's just that they're louder because everyone else goes, be arse with this.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? And you know, you kind of have to insulate yourself and switch yourself off to it. But that carries a fear with it to me, because I don't like stupidity and misinformation to run riot on that, and I don't like the fact that people feel that Liverpool's fan base is being represented, because if all the good people go away and all you're left with is the dickheads, and then somebody of importance looks to what goes, oh, let's have a look at what the Liverpool fans are thinking. There's nothing but knobheads
like,
left there.
You think about, like, when you're in the ground, lads, and you're there, and there's a fella who sits a bit in front of you, thought he'd have an aneurysm years ago, but he hasn't yet. You know exactly who I'm talking to. Down to the right, he's the most angry Liverpool fan, but every time Liverpool score, and it's the player that he shouted at, everyone around him's like, ah, and they give him a big hug and all that, because that's what happens in real life when you're at the footy. That's what happens. You turn round and you rip the lad who's been ripping into the players, yeah, and they're laughing and they're loving life and they've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
We don't have any of that anymore, and it's just pure anger, and it just builds up and builds up.
It's just that thing, isn't it, James, where it's people who are looking for blame. And that's the thing about it, is that it's not normally we've been trained with football, it's always someone's fault. So, and that's because that's what football analysis is, that's what Match of the Day and Sky Sports are. They don't go, let's talk about the brilliant football. I mean, they do a bit of that, but you know, it never spreads as far. That's why we were talking about Roy Keane last week, is it's the who's to fault, who can we point a finger at, who are we getting angry at this week? And so when people come around, like when Liverpool are in this bad run of form, and it's like FSG out, Klopp out, Alisson shit, Thiago shit, it's like, oh lads, oh, just chill, because I know it's hard. No one needs. I've not got any positivity for you. No, it's all right, because it's this easily sortable thing. But like the baby out with the bathwater stuff is just, again, it's all just noise. And this goes back to it. We just need Liverpool to win a couple of games, and all of this shit goes away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. But equally, you know, it's almost like a perfect storm because of the pandemic, and because we're all sat at home. And because football is normally, you know, it's our release, it's our, you know, it's our fix, it's our drug at the weekend, you know, that's my, you know, I get to sort of Thursday and I'm building towards Saturday or Sunday and the Reds. But it's a microcosm at the moment, you know, everything's really, really insular. And I tell you what, I've never needed town more than I did on after the Leicester game. I've never needed to go to a bar and just get pissed with my mates and just sing some songs and have a laugh and, you know, just get that out of our system, because we haven't got, because without that release that we've got, you know, you sat at home on social media and everything's heightened and everything's more emotional, you know, everything's more emotional because people are sat behind the keyboards and I am fucking furious, you know, typing away. And
with that's one finger.
That's, yeah, and that's all we've. That's, you know, that's all we all a lot of us have got at the moment. And it, yeah, there's no grey area, James.
Is there? There's no grey area. You're happy. You're sad. You're right. You're left. You want them out, or you're a fucking top red.
I mean, absolutely. Just,
what happens to like players getting a 6 out of 10? Like Liverpool win, they get a 10 out of 10. Liverpool lose, they get a 1 out of 10. Like, yeah, that's the way that they are in life. You know what I mean? You can play well for 75 minutes. You can be 1-0 up against Leicester, but ultimately you get beat. Well, everyone gives everyone 3s.
Yeah. Oh no, but it's funny, innit? Because we had that, didn't we? You know, we had all the pundits coming out and going, "What a brilliant Leicester performance! What a brilliant Leicester!" It wasn't a fucking brilliant Leicester.
It was a brilliant Leicester result.
Yeah, it was. It was a brilliant result. It was a really, really good Liverpool performance until the point where they absolutely fucked it. That's not like Leicester would be. I mean, Leicester had to capitalise. Let's do this and that. But like, I'm not having it. And it's just, yeah, the analysis is doing me head in on all this. But we come back to it, Sam. You know, it's Leipzig tonight. I'm sure there'll be people listening to this the day after and what have you. And hopefully, you know, all this seems a little bit funny that we've all gone through this emotional turmoil because Liverpool have just won. But you know, we're in that situation now where Liverpool are going to win a game of football again eventually, and then they're probably going to win another one, and they're probably going to win more games than they lose between now and the end of the season, probably.
But we have up to this point.
Well, yeah, exactly, up to now, but you never know. We don't know whether the graph is trending down or
the win
up.
Percentage, I don't think, is above 50 anymore, but...
No, but this is the point, isn't it? You know, it's a shame, and we all feel so much more withdrawn. And I think it. I know personally it hits me harder because it's a different... This is a different football to me. You know, I was at three quarters of the games, you know, over the last three or four, well, certainly the last 4 or 5 years, I've been at least three quarters of the matches in person. This is a different sport to me, so there is more faith in these lads to go and perform. But that's what we're left with, you know. And the good thing is, and we were talking about what, you know, is there a rallying cry? Is there a rallying cause? I think this stuff, I'm hoping that this stuff in the last couple of days might well prove to be. I think the team have been playing much better in the last month than they were the month, you know, leading up to that. But yeah, we could really do with the results just kicking up. And look, again, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, I don't think about tonight's game and think, I'm worried we're going to play badly. The recent results for me have been, like Chris just said, bad results. But I don't go into games now thinking we're going to play badly, we're going to get dominated, we're hanging on. You know, to sort of cross-reference Spurs haven't been playing well for a long time. They've nicked a few results, but they must go into games thinking we're not really playing that well. And are we going to get? Whereas I go into a game thinking we're going to play well. Are we going to get shafted today? Who's going to get injured today? And maybe are we going to take our chances today? But they're different questions. They're sort of totally different. We're still dominating the ball. We're still creating opportunities to create chances. We're still got some bright sparks in the side, like Jones and stuff like that. Thiago plays some beautiful balls, even though, you know, we was the tackling thing. And, you know, we've still got the excitement to see how Kabak gets on. There's still loads of positives thinking forward in this team. So I go into tonight's game thinking, I'm excited for us to play. I'm excited. I think we'll play well. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm confident in the results, but I'm still excited going in to watch the team. But it is a different game of football, to be honest with you. It sounds like a bitter red, but this season is not a normal football season. The unfortunate thing is next season's structure is based on this season's results and performance. And that's the hard thing for me because in the way that us as fans have been told, next season doesn't go on the few games we got in the stadium this season because it's not normal. Unfortunately for the players, they have to pull out a level of performance to ensure that next season is a normal season.
Yeah, exactly. Get back in the top four, and you can't restart if you're not able to be where you once were. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? And I agree with Sam in that regard. This is the thing, Chris. It's in Liverpool's hands. You know, it might not be in the big, thick, strong hands of like Virgil van Dijk, for example. You know what I mean? But the point is,
as long as it's not in Allison's hands at the minute.
Well, as long as it's not a couple of yards outside the box, it's fine. Yeah, on his feet, moreover. Yeah, but this is the point: is that I think Sam's right. We get to play football matches, and Liverpool are depleted, but there's still enough quality in there that they can win football matches. And you know, he's right in so much as we're still being given the ball. We've still got possession of the football. We're still able to be a possession-based football side. So this is the point, is that the onus is on Liverpool, and that's fine. You know, that I'd rather that. You know, we were set up in a different way. Let's say we were just a counter-attacking side. I think we'd have been even more badly hurt by this than we have been because you're relying on other teams to almost create your opportunities for you in some regards. So yeah, all it boils down to is it's a lot of knuckling down and keeping going. It's one of those rare exceptions where that Einstein quote of doing the same things and expecting different results, you know, doesn't apply, but it feels like it applies. Yeah. Liverpool just need to keep going and doing the things they do well till it works.
Jürgen's mentioned it in his press conference recently. He'd be more worried if the performances weren't there. And I think what's interesting as well, another manager that I think is absolutely brilliant in Bielsa has said similar things about Leeds. You know, when he's been asked about, you know, why aren't you changing the way that you play? He said, well, if you put the performances together more times than not, you will then get the results. It's just that we've not been getting the results just the same as Leeds. They've still been putting good performances in. They've still been putting teams to sword, but they haven't been getting the results. That will come. That has to come. It's just on a balance of play, I think. You know, it's just that you mentioned that we've been dead unlucky. We've had the injuries, everything that we all know. At some point, our luck will change.
Yeah.
And we've just got to be still in a position where we can capitalise on it when it does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely right. Thanks so much to Chandran Katuwawala for the £5 super chat. Absolutely wonderful stuff. How are we feeling? We feel like about the game. You know, Chris was saying to me, feeling a bit nervous about it.
I'm nervous.
James, how are you feeling about the match?
I'm actually really looking forward to it. The fact that it's not a Premier League game is, you know, is a real tonic right now. You know, it's an opportunity. You know, I think expectations are probably a little bit all over the place. There's probably people like me that are quite, you know, I feel reasonably bullish about the whole thing. I think we can go over there and I think we can do a job. I think if you know, we, like Chris said, we haven't been playing, and Sam says, but we haven't been playing awful football. We haven't been shit. We've just had, you know, injuries, bad luck. The players are knackered. The, you know, no other football club has suffered from not having fans in the ground as much as, you know, as much as Liverpool, which says everything you need to know about how strong and how good our fan base is, especially away. The travelling cop, they've missed enormously. But yeah, it's a really good opportunity. They get to, you know, they get to go on a plane, they get to fly to another country. It's a bit exciting, you know, and we love this competition. You know, historically, we've always done well, you know, majority of the times in the Champions League. So yeah, it's a real opportunity, and I would expect the players to be really, really up for it and really, really excited. That being said, it'll probably be a 1-0 thriller, but yeah, so really looking forward to it, man, because it's you know, I'm done with the Premier League. I need a little break, even if it's just a few days. I just can't fucking think about it right now.
I'm just so nervous about it all, because I'm like, if we get a bad result, that's the season done, and I'm not ready for the season to be done. There's still stuff that we can do here. I'm not ready to just have a top four fight with other teams, like 12 of them,
yeah.
I think, or something like that, you know what I mean? And the likelihood is that fear's, you know, misplaced. But until Liverpool go out there and prove it, I'm still nervous. Like,
yeah, it is what it is, isn't it, Sam? It's dead right. Is that we're back to this world of, like, it's all just words. You know, there's comforting words, there's negative words. You know, we can sit here and preach, oh, don't bother with your negative words, but the people who are feeling really negative be like, well, fucking don't bother with your positive words, because you've got nothing's constructive one way or the other. Liverpool do just need to go and win. How are you feeling?
I'm opportunistic on the matter. I feel it's a good chance for us to go away. Like, listen, when we've won the Champions League the last few years, we haven't won the league. All right, 18-19 was probably our best season in my lifetime. We should have won the league, and we did win the Champions League. But other than that, our big Champions League runs to semi-finals and finals, and we won it in 05. We haven't been great in the league. It was our release. It was our something else. You know, It was our non-low block teams. It's a different experience. Like James says, getting on a plane, going somewhere new, and playing a game of football. It's in a neutral venue, so at least we know for the first leg. Again, that probably helps us more than them. It's a chance, and I don't think we'll get battered tonight, wherever the score is. I think you boys said yesterday, even if we lost 2-1, we've still got an opportunity second leg. We're playing Romania at home, I don't know. But I just feel like I'm happy for us to sort of kick on. And listen, if we get through this tie, we get into April. And we'll, you know, all being well, we'll have loads of players back. The big man's back at Melwood now. You know, we've heard these rumours of April, you know, things like that. But it brings positivity if he's on the training pitch. Even if he's not playing, if he's on the training pitch, everyone's the buzz that will create, Van Dijk being back at Kirby now, never mind in April. So this is a chance. Get out there and get a job done. And get us into that April quarterfinals, and things are going to start getting interesting.
Yeah, it's funny that actually I had a similar thought about the Van Dijk being back at Kirby, and just how having a guy of that stature and that character just back around the training ground, even if they can only just go and speak to him and all that kind of stuff. It's just, these are all small things that feel like the team in Liverpool.
Like, since he's been gone, like, Robertson and that don't know where to stand, because they always stood in their back four positions, didn't they? And they're like, who am I supposed to stand? Phillips this week? Hang on, what's going on? So even if it's just that, they get to know where they stand.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let us know your thoughts. How are you feeling about Liverpool in general? If you haven't seen the Jurgen Klopp press conference, just go and watch it. The bit, I even watched all all the questions in German just because I wanted to hear them talk. But there's like two or three questions right at the start. It's only about 5 or 6 minutes. If you're feeling in down in the doldrums in any way, shape or form, go and listen to the manager speak. And don't just read the quotes, because you never get the tone from the quotes. Watch the video or listen to the audio of it. And I guarantee you'll feel a bit better ahead of the game and beyond as well. Gents, listen, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast this week. The Red Men podcast will return next week. If you're watching this or listen to this on the Tuesday prior to Leipzig, we'll be doing a live watch along for that as well, from like 15 minutes before kickoff, and we'll be here about an hour and 15 before for the team news reaction. But yeah, and also don't forget to check out the Beers of Anfield Road stuff. It's absolutely phenomenal. Thank you guys, have a great day, see you all soon. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.